Blog Talk Radio.
Sure, now everything works. Where the hell is everyone? Good evening. Good evening. And welcome to Eerie House Radio, all of you. I'm Dale K from Spook Show, accompanied by...
Hey, Bigley from Winning This Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And looks like for now it's just us at the moment.
Yep, just us, but everything works. We think.
Last Saturday we had more people than we could fit in the room, you know?
I know.
Had to stand up the whole time last week. I had to stand up the whole time.
I know. Well, I took the only chair because I'm a lazy slob. But... but, I say, fear not, because you never know around here. We could get slammed at any time. Happened before. Hey, it's Saturday night. Some people actually have dates, Dave. They're not losers like us. <I'm kidding. laughs> And jobs and stuff.
I like to think of us as growing into being homebodies. How's that?
There, I like that. And that I have. Oh, yeah. I love my house. I love my yard. Good times. Good times.
Yep.
Anywho, we are, you know, we're just so sleazy. It's anything for a buck.
Yep. That's
anything
why we only have one chair and Dale's in it again.
Yep. Well, no, I have to be a gentleman. The lady's here, so I have to give up my chair. Please be seated.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Greetings, felicitations, everyone. CW here. A little late, but I'm always great.
Yes, you are.
Exactly.
Yes, you are. Always great. And it's great to have you with us once again. And it does appear that things are functioning. Maybe Fogsbane will let us know if he can actually hear us talking. I don't know. Welcome.
Yes.
Hi, Fogs.
Yep,
yes, are those technical difficulties still being difficult?
I think we got it beat tonight. I think we got it beat tonight, yeah.
Yeah, if you guys can hear me in here, I think we're all good to go. Oh, there he is. And
Yay!
Sorry about your luck. He can hear me. it's anything for a buck night, those wonderful... dicks for money.
That's right. Discount detectives.
We're talking detectives.
Discount detectives tonight. Yep, that's right.
Yep.
Although, technically Rocky Fortune wasn't a detective. He was just kind of a wisecracker guy. And Pat Novak for hire wasn't really a detective, but he was always having to do detective work to save his butt. Because the Raymond Burr kept putting his butt in line to take the blame for everything, so he had to prove his innocence.
Yes, CW, we got a star-studded package tonight. You got Jack Webb, we've got Frank Sinatra, Raymond Burr.
Yeah. All kinds of fun.
Hard-boiled detective with femme fatales and dicey dames.
As it should be.
I get a kick out of the Rocky Fortune. This is an interesting time in Frank Sinatra's life. The Columbia ended his record contract. He didn't have a movie contract with MGM anymore, and he just basically was there hanging. He and Jimmy Stewart turned to radio to try and turn their fortunes around and their. Their ideal of who they were as Frank Sinatra, he fought hard to get the job. He did it for scale. He wanted so bad for the role in From Here to Eternity, which he actually won an Oscar for. It was during this time, he was like in between contracts and everything, as he picked up this, and this got him enough notoriety along with From Here to Eternity to get him back into the public eye, recording contracts as well as the movie.
Yep, and I don't know. Maybe we should start with Rocky Fortune tonight. What do you
good
think?
Good dinner.
Gang.
Ran from 53 to 45. 53 until 54 after 25 episodes. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did he go back in time from 54 to
48? Yeah, it ain't easy, buddy. It ain't easy.
Yep. If anybody can do it, old Blue Eyes.
Yep, chairman of the board. Chairman of the board.
I guess. Old Blue Eyes.
And every time they say chairman of the board, I think of that that one rhythm and soul group, chairman of the board. They had that song, Give Me Just a Little More Time.
They oh, yeah.
One hit wonder. Even though the chairman of the board is Frank Sinatra, I can't help thinking of that band. That was a good song.
Interesting. I wonder where that moniker came from, the chairman of the board.
he was kind of the leader of the Rat Pack, wasn't he?
He would definitely be the leader of the Rat Pack, yeah.
Yes, yes, he was. Interesting how these monikers come into being. The chairman of the board, Mel Torme, the Velvet Fog.
The Velvet Frog. That always killed me.
James Brown, the hardest working man in show business.
But, you know, it's... but
Dale
Kay
of the Blackened Lung.
I love this Rocky Fortune show. The whole series of 25 episodes is just absolutely wonderful. My wife is not crazy about a lot of old-time radio. She loved this show, not just because of Sinatra, but the character he had and how he played it. You know, it was just a good show all the way through from first episode to the last.
Yeah, I think they gave him a good character that just jibed with his acting style and personality.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
I'm wondering, I'll have to look it up, if he got this role before or after that movie he did with Shirley MacLaine and Dean Martin, Some Came Running. Now, that is really a character that's kind of sort of reminiscent of Rocky Fortune.
Looking that up here. Some
scrolling.
Yeah. Some Came Running was 1958, and this was 1953. So
okay,
this was the thing that gave him the opportunity to come back in that kind of role, because he was just really kind of almost a song and dance type guy. He did most of his movies had to do with he did several with Gene Kelly and things like that. So this was a chance to change his persona, and he did a couple of really good movies right after that: The Man with the Golden Arm and the Suddenly movie. I just absolutely love that.
Oh yes, that one. Yeah, that was really sort of a really prophetic movie about that.
Yeah.
Assassination.
He was trying to assassinate the president, yeah. In
California,
that's where the title comes from, because it was in Suddenly California he was going to kill him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and for our Carl Kolchak retinue in cyberspace, don't forget that Darren McGavin played a wonderful role in The Man with the Golden Arm as his drug pusher. Woo.
Yep, and you had Arnold Stang in there as, like, his best friend. And I always got a kick out of Arnold Stang. That's one of the few times he was still a little like comic relief, but he was still very serious in that role. So it was an amazing film, I thought.
I enjoyed that immensely. It's free to watch now on YouTube, if anyone's interested.
Yeah.
The Man with the Golden Arm. and has a wonderful original soundtrack as well.
I will say this. Don't watch Of Mice and Men. It's currently on Freevee. The soundtrack is way off. I'm not used to Burgess Meredith talking like this. He has kind of a higher voice. And Lenny even sounds
I hate when that happens.
Comically, yeah, the sound, the running speed of it or the streaming speed of it is way off. Sorry, Freevee, but I just had to drop that on you. I was all excited, ready to watch it, and it's like, I can't do this. The sound is off. This isn't the Lon Chaney Jr. and Burgess Meredith I know.
Yeah, especially with that being basically hailed as probably one of the best roles that Lon Chaney Jr. ever did.
Yeah, it really launched him. It springboarded for him to get over to do the Universal stuff. But it's so iconic, and it impacted so many things in comedy. That was, they were spoofing Lon Chaney as Lenny in so many of the Warner Brothers cartoons and other forms of
absolutely
popular media at the time.
He even spoofed himself in that Bob Hope movie, My Favorite Brunette.
Yeah, that's right. He did.
He spoofed himself in that. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, and just for reference, back to the chairman of the board, remember he was a huge, huge booster for John Kennedy. But when he did that movie Suddenly, and then I don't know if it came before or after, he also did Manchurian Candidate, the original Manchurian Candidate.
Yep.
Yeah.
That movie was stalled since the assassination took place so close to the premiere of that movie.
Yeah, I think it was already done, but they stopped it. They did not put it out to the theaters.
That's two very, if you want to go there, prophetic movies. And him being such a huge, huge stomper for Kennedy, it's kind of eerie when you think about it.
Yeah, it is. And that's where a lot of your conspiracies theories came through. Always kept trying to tie Sinatra to the mafia and so many different conspiracy theories with respect to John Kennedy's misfortune.
Unfortunately, you didn't have to go too far usually to connect Frank Sinatra to the mafia.
Yeah,
that is sadly true.
Yeah.
But the same thing Rosemary Clooney, because she performed in Las Vegas so much because the mob guys loved her. They loved her to death. And so she knew them. She didn't do things for them, but she knew them and performed for them regularly. And so, you could say the same thing about the Rosemary.
Yeah. Yeah. Rosemary had a hell of a life. She was a very interesting girl.
I had no idea she was a child performer.
She was a child star.
Yeah, she was as Baby Rose Maria, a singer.
Yeah,
On the radio, on the records.
We did a nice.
And then she grew up. She seemed to disappear, but that's when she showed up in Vegas. That's kind of what happened to her when she disappeared. She was in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did we do a show on her?
I think we did.
Yeah, I think you did, actually.
Now you think of it.
Yeah, because I remember covering her in great detail, and she was just an incredible, incredible lady. Even on the Dick Van Dyke Show, she seemed like a boss in there. And they say behind the scenes, a lot of people came to her for advice and assistance.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say she had that sort of flavor, that sort of flair that Joan Blondell, if anyone remembers Joan Blondell.
Oh, yeah.
She had that same sort of snappy comeback that Joan Blondell always was famous for.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but I can't disagree.
Yeah. Hey, we got a whole lot of radio, and we probably ought to get started with Rocky Fortune.
Yes, let's do.
Interesting title, Oyster Shucker.
Yep. And remember, Anything for a buck. Anything for a buck.
There you go. And this comes to us from?
The very first episode. And it comes to us from October 6th of 1953.
Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune.
And the Goats.
Frank Sinatra, who stars as that footloose and frequently unemployed young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. About me and employment, we start out together, but sooner or later we reach the fork in the road. Usually sooner. You take last week. The employment agency sent me out on a job as an oyster shucker. But somebody tried to serve me up on a half shell with a real crazy cocktail sauce. Blood. Pardon me, is this the 50 Fathoms Clam House?
Yes. Is there something I can do for you?
That's the best offer I've had all day.
We'll have a table in a minute. Would you care to look at the menu?
What's the menu got that you haven't got, baby?
A price list. If you'll excuse me, I'm busy.
Now, wait a minute. Don't get sore. I work here. I'm the new oyster shucker. I'm Rocky Fortune.
Well, you'd better go around to the kitchen, Mr. Fortune.
Just call me Rocky, huh? And I'll call you two or three times a day.
Don't bother.
Why not?
For one thing, I've got a boyfriend.
Now, why would we let a little thing like that come between us?
Maybe because he's standing right behind you.
Oops. He isn't exactly standing behind me. It's more like all around me. This joke is 6'4", 200 pounds on the hoof, and broad enough to go through the middle of a revolving door. And I can't figure a gorilla like this with this girl. She's a real sweet little girl, like somebody's kid sister. Only she's wearing a knit dress, and she's got a figure that's giving the warp and the woof a hard time. I get a glimmer when she introduces me to the bruiser.
Mr. Fortune, this is Mr. Barney. He's the manager.
All right, Fortune, get back to the kitchen. I'll give you a personal introduction to a barrel of oysters. This way. And Fortune.
Yeah?
Stay away from Iris.
Who says so?
I say so. Here's your counter. Shell's in a garbage can. And this is the oyster knife.
Right.
And just so as we don't misunderstand each other, I'm very serious about Iris. Very serious.
Hey, look out with that knife.
You understand, Fortune?
I got an inkling.
Now get to work and shuck them oysters.
It takes me a few minutes to pull the dull-bladed oyster knife 2 inches out of the table where Big Barney has buried it. About this time, Ferdinand, the waiter, drifts in the door. Ferdy's a little wispy guy who looks like the mechanical rabbit the greyhounds chase at the dog track.
1,000 cherry stones! Hey, who are you?
Rocky Fortune. I'm the new oyster shucker.
What happened to Herman?
Maybe he got washed out with the tide. Hey, pal, when do I get something to eat here?
Didn't you get some supper?
No.
That Barney, no consideration. Look, I'll fix you something.
I've been looking at the menu. How about the swordfish?
Uh-uh.
No?
To my best friend, I wouldn't recommend the swordfish. Not tonight.
Wait a minute.
Yes, sir?
Mr. Abernucky's coming in.
Excuse me. Hey, Chief, give me 2 double shrimp cocktails, a crab meat salad, lobster gumbo, a bowl of Boston, a bowl of Manhattan, and a bucket of lobsters.
What do you got out there, rotary luncheon?
No, just Mr. Abernucky.
I take a peek through the kitchen door, and Mr. Abernucky is sitting on 2 chairs at once and is still lapping over on all sides. Barney and Ferdinand are hovering around him like a pair of hummingbirds trying to neck with a Navy blimp. I make a resolution to quit eating French fried potatoes and go back to unbuttoning oysters and remove their overcoats. It's lonely work, so I strike up a conversation. There's nobody in the pantry but me and the oyster, so I got no choice. You think you got troubles? I'm the one that ought to get stewed. You got it soft. You don't have to worry what happens if your lady friend decides to clam up. All you got to do is just lay there, and that's all. And if you want to make an impression on a dame, all you got to do is whip up a pearl. That's a, holy smokes, a real live pearl. It's a real live pearl sitting in the middle of that oyster staring up at me with its one beautiful beady eye. I'm figuring on calling little Arthur the Book to place a fin on the nose of Pearl Diver in the fifth at Belmont when I open the next oyster. So help me, another pearl. I haven't had a run of luck like this since I busted up the floating crap game in Doherty's garage. So I leave the stake out and shoot it all. Another oyster. Another pearl. Come on, baby. Papa needs a new necklace. One after another, and every little darling loaded. I'm trembling as I hit number 10, 11, and 12. Great big fat pearls in my hot little hand and all mine. Just to make sure, I stash them away in my pocket quick as Ferdinand the waiter comes in the door.
2,000 special oysters for Mr. Abenaki.
Buddy boy, I never could see nothing special about no oysters. It's like eating a clammy handshake.
Get them up and I'll pick them up on the way out. The special for Mr. Abenaki come out of this barrel. And don't shuck them. He likes them open at the table. He says it improves the flavor.
Yes, sir, Sergeant. Unfortunately, Barney has forgotten to tell me this, and I've already separated Mr. Abenaki's special oysters from their shells. Now, to me, the difference between a couple of oysters is something that can only interest another oyster. So I fill up a plate from the regular barrel. This, it turns out, is a mistake. Through the doors, I hear Mr. Abenaki sounding off like the bullhorn on a big moat. And Ferdinand comes flying back like a scared pigeon.
What happened? What happened to the special oysters?
Who is responsible for this?
Please, Mr. Abenaki.
Here's the special oysters shipped in just for me, and what do I get? Call these oysters? These miserable, scrawny blobs.
What happened to Mr. Abenaki's oysters? You, Fortune.
Me?
What happened to the specials?
It was just a little mistake.
A mistake. A mistake with my oysters.
Please, Mr. Abenaki. Fortune, what happened?
I opened them first. Nobody told me any different.
You hear that? He opened my oysters. All that flavor gone. Gone forever.
What is this, a federal case?
You feather-headed idiot.
Now, wait a minute.
Stupid,
no
good.
Customers can hear you.
Fortune, you lame brain, you apologize to Mr. Abenaki.
Okay, okay. To him, I'll apologize. But you, you muscle-headed bum.
Well, you scrawny knucklehead, I ought to pry you apart like a charter clam.
Why don't you put your money where your mouth is?
Mr. Barney, I'm sure it was an honest mistake. Why don't you give him another chance?
You shut up and keep out of this.
Hey, who do you think you're talking to? You ought to wash your mouth out with soap before you talk to a lady.
Fortune, you're fired.
Oh, no. Please, Mr. Barney.
You keep out of this. Take him up front and pay him off.
Iris fishes me a couple of bucks out of the register. And I can see she's a little sorry for me, which makes me feel very pleasant indeed.
Here you are, Mr. Fortune. I wish it was more.
Oh, well, easy come, easy go. I just wish I was staying on, though, so I could see you again.
It took a lot of courage to stand up to Barney like that.
I still had the oyster knife.
Well, I wish there was something that I could do.
How about splitting a steak with me tonight, huh? After all, I just got fired, and I shouldn't be left alone with a knife.
Well, I suppose it's all right.
Meet you when you get off. Is it a date?
All right, Rocky. I'm off at 9.
I figure bounced the nut on my head for the day. 12 pearls and a beautiful girl. This is better than the Daily Double. It's about 8:45 when I head out the back door. It's a very cozy neighborhood. You could sometimes go as far as a block without stumbling over a drunk or being mugged for a pair of clean socks. So I'm not too surprised when an arm whips around my neck and I cease breathing until further notice.
Don't say a word.
Who can talk?
This ain't no briar pipe sticking in your back.
Okay.
Hand them over.
Anything in particular?
You know what I'm talking about. Hand them over.
Now, Mac, this may make me seem a little slow, but I haven't got the slightest idea what you're talking about.
The pearls, wise guy. The pearls. You got them.
Oh, them.
Didn't your mother ever tell you it ain't polite to shortstop? Now, pass them over.
They're mine. I found them.
Okay, okay. Hand them over.
Over my dead body.
That can be arranged. All right, wise guy. I'll give you a quick five to hand them over. One.
Hey, you're kidding, ain't you?
Two.
Okay, okay. I got them right here.
Three.
Right here. Hey, they're gone.
Four.
Honest, I put them in his pocket, see?
I said four.
Look, look, there's a hole in it. Look, I can wiggle my finger through it.
Five.
If you don't believe me, look for yourself.
Yeah. Okay, hold still.
I'm ticklish.
You're clean, all right. Listen, punk, I'll give you a chance. You got 12 hours to hand those pearls over.
But I lost them, honest.
You lost them, you find them. Remember, 12 hours or we'll fit you for a brand new satin-lined overcoat with silver handles. And just to show you, we ain't kidding.
About 20 minutes later, the world slows down to a gentle spiral. Some other bum has drove me for 38 cents and change, a subway token in my shoes. I paddle around to the avenue on my bare feet, and I find Iris waiting in front of a drugstore looking like Hurricane Barbara, about to hit the Atlantic coast from Block Island to Cape Hatteras.
Rocky, this is not the kind of a neighborhood where a girl likes to wait for... What's the matter? You're limping.
I stepped on a live cigar butt.
Well, you're barefoot. Where are we going, to a square dance?
Look, honey, I'm afraid our date's off.
Why?
I gotta attend a funeral.
Whose?
Mine.
What are you talking about?
There seems to be a difference of opinion about some pearls. I told the guy I found them, but he couldn't see it my way.
You found some pearls?
Yes.
Where?
Where else? In an oyster. 12 of them.
You found 12 pearls in one oyster?
No, no. One each in a dozen. How's that for luck?
Nobody's that lucky.
But now I can't find them. I got a hole in my pocket. I must have dropped them.
Oh, that's terrible.
You don't know the half of it. The guy who just slugged me gave me 12 hours to cough up the pearls or else. A particularly nasty elf.
Oh, then we've got to start looking for them right now.
Right now, I've got to look for some shoes. A guy can get athlete's foot this way.
Rocky is roughing it and getting roughed up.
And roughed up. Yeah, I think he gets roughed up about every week as do most of these. You know, there are more concussions on these detective shows than there are in the NFL every week.
There you go. Yeah, true. They always seem to get beat up. Michael Shane, Pat Novak.
Yeah. The only one doesn't is Jack Webb in Dragnet. He doesn't get beat up in Dragnet.
No, he never gets beat up in Dragnet. But they're not allowed.
Yeah, Rogues Gallery and Richard Diamond, private detective, and even upon occasion, Johnny Dollar got conked out.
Oh yeah, he got his butt whipped a few times, that I recall. Oh.
Yep. Yep.
But they don't call him Rocky Fortune for nothing. But he is the ladies' man.
Well, he's one of those bad boys type, good guys, bad boys type that the girls go after. That's what he is. Kind of like Dale Kay, you know?
Ah, yes. Yeah.
Yes. Just like
yeah.
Dale Kay took back there.
Yeah. I know. That's why I stick around. I feel so sorry for you. So there you go.
I'll take sympathy. That's all right. I can work with that. It's all right.
Ah, bazinga.
Bazinga, bazinga. Let's wrap up Rocky Fortune. We want to make sure we have enough time for Pat later on. Here comes the conclusion of...
Let's do it.
That yes. Wonderful profession, oyster shucking.
We head back into the 50 Fathoms clam house to try to find the pearls. I'm cutting my bare feet to ribbons on broken clam shells. We go through the sawdust in the pantry a spoonful at a time, but we draw a blank. No pearls. Up to now, I've been thinking I'm just lucky. But slowly, I realize I've been playing with marked oysters. I figure them pearls must be hot as a tin roof in August.
Rocky, what happens if we don't find them? They might kill you.
Yeah. I was thinking that was a possibility, too.
Well, where else could you have dropped them? Is there anything on the floor, a garbage can or something?
Wait a minute. There was, that little barrel that Mr. Abenaki's oysters came in. It was right by this stool.
Maybe the pearls dropped in it.
But the barrel's gone, too.
Of course. They pick it up at night and take it back to the oyster boat.
Can you find out which boat?
I know. I sign the receipt every day. It's the Polly B at Pier 22. Oh, Rocky, do you think the pearls could still be in the barrel?
Well, I got a hasty feeling I'd better find out. Anyway, if Abenaki's oysters came from that boat, then so do the pearls.
Rocky, I'm going with you.
Now, look, honey, it's going to be dangerous and dark down on that dock.
You'll be there.
I know. That's what frightens me. Well, come on. Let's head for Pier 22. And if I don't find the pearls, well, at least it's a good place to jump off. I'm still barefoot as we head up the waterfront to Pier 22, but I keep going. I figure it's like a horse. If I pull up lame now, I'm a cinch to get shot. Pier 22 looks like the spot where Henry Hudson dropped his anchor on the first trip. There's a crap game going on in the dock office. We wait until somebody makes a foil the hard way and slip through in the confusion. The oyster boat is halfway down the pier, and we go aboard. Don't trip on them ropes.
Isn't that the barrel? Right there?
That's it, all right. I'll tip it up to the light. Empty as a pocket before payday.
Oh, Rocky.
I wonder where the elephants go to die.
Rocky, listen.
Yeah, somebody must have broken up the crap game. They're coming this way.
What are we going to do?
That guy who put the arm on me is with him. You see the guy with no neck?
Yeah.
Come on, we better hide.
Well, where?
Down the hatch behind it.
I can't jump down there, not in this skirt.
In it or out of it. Here you go.
Oh, it's dark down here.
Look out, here I come. Now, keep quiet, baby, and maybe we'll get out of this thing in one piece.
All right, let's get going. Cast off the line.
What is it? What's happening?
Did you bring your toothbrush?
A toothbrush? What for?
I can only think of one thing to say at this point.
What?
Bon voyage. Polly B is definitely not in the Queen Mary class. It's sort of a cross between an oversized shoebox and the Staten Island Ferry. It would probably rock like crazy in a bathtub, and by the time we're through the narrows and into the lower bay, Iris has turned a tasteful tone of green, which unfortunately clashes with her purple dress.
Oh, Rocky, I'm afraid I'm going to die.
No, you're not.
Okay, I'm afraid I'm not going to die.
Ugh. Somebody will hear you.
I don't care.
There's your boy. Loran, the boy.
What happened? We're stopping.
Maybe we hit a red light.
Will you men get the net on the side? Come on, hurry up.
What is it? Oysters?
I don't know. I better boost you up so you can sneak a peek. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Well?
It's a barrel, Rocky. They pulled it in with a net. Rocky, it's got a flag on it. Let me down.
I got it now. Just like Prohibition. Someone on an incoming liner dumps the stuff over.
And this boat picks it up.
Yeah, and delivers it to the 50 Fathoms clam house. What a way to sneak in pearls inside an oyster. And if some jerk opens one by mistake, he just thinks he's lucky. Can you imagine a guy stupid enough to think he'd really find a pearl in an... You read any good books lately?
Rocky, it's a smuggling racket.
All right.
Baby, you're even smart. That's right. I could kiss you. I have my eyes closed and my mouth puckered when the roof falls in. Then I find myself kissing a 30-pound flounder, which is part of a load of fish dumped in on top of us. We're standing up to the neck in fresh-caught ocean fish in season. I pick a herring out of my ears and look around for Iris. And once again, I get that funny feeling. You know, that yearning to take her out of all of this. Polly B makes it back to the pier in Blue Ribbon time. And when the coast is clear, Iris and I climb out of the fish and shake off the scales. I've got a smelt in my pocket and a certain air about me.
Ooh, I can't even stand myself.
I think it's invigorating.
Rocky, you know what's clear? You got the pearls by mistake.
Yeah, those oysters were meant for Mr. Abernathy. They're delivered specially for him.
It must be, Rocky. So, what do we do now?
Well, honey, as much as I hate disturbing a man at his meal, Mr. Abernathy leaves me no choice. He eats all day. However, there's a limit to how long a dame can wander through town with seaweed in her hair and a strong suspicion that barnacles have set in. So Iris heads up to her apartment to change. I figure I might as well head over to the clam house to do a little digging on my own. It's midnight now, and Ferdinand's in the kitchen when I get there.
Say, what happened? You jump off the ferry?
Never mind. Listen, has Abernathy still got his nose in a feed bag?
He's on his Demitasse.
Demitasse?
Yes, he has to watch his weight.
Look, Ferdinand, about those special oysters. Mr. Abernathy never has them open in the kitchen, right?
Right. He's a very particular man. He wants to make sure all the flavor's locked in.
I'll bet he does. Ferdinand, this may come as a shock to you, but something tells me Mr. Abernathy is playing puss in the corner with the United States Custom. Not to mention the cops from the country where the stuff was originally heisted.
The stuff?
The pearls. I found a dozen of them in his oysters. I can't figure out where they went to, though.
You lost them?
Yeah, to a hole in my pocket. I was leaning over the counter right here. Now, they could have rolled along, but I didn't find them on the floor. They should have dropped right down here like... Who put that bowl of soup on the stool?
I did. That's Mr. Abernathy's oyster stew. I always leave it there until he's ready for it.
You do?
Yes.
Did Mr. Abernathy have oyster stew tonight?
Sure. He has a couple of bowls with each meal.
Ferdinand, I got to make some phone calls. To the cops for a squad car and the Bellevue Hospital for a stomach pump.
You mean Mr. Abernathy is a smuggler?
Somebody around here is, and he looks like it. I'll let the cops nail it down.
Well, that's too bad, isn't it?
About Abernathy, why? He deserves what he's got coming to him.
Yes, but I'm afraid you don't. Now, please put up your hands, Mr. Fortune. You see, we wouldn't want the police around. The clam house has to think of its reputation.
But
your gun is loaded. Barney?
Sure, boss.
Take this gun and keep him covered.
With pleasure.
Then it's you.
I suppose it is. Barney, could Captain Duran arrange a special trip on the Polly B?
Easy.
Well, we'll have to be careful where we drop you. It wouldn't do to spoil the oyster bed. Mr. Abernathy wouldn't like it.
Couldn't you just maroon me on a desert island?
Please, Mr. Fortune, be practical. Now, we're going out through the kitchen door. Barney, you go first.
Sure thing, boss. Coast is clear.
Barney, what happened?
Probably this.
Rocky, all right?
Sure, how's Barney?
Oh, he's out cold.
What did you hit him with?
A frozen flounder.
You know it was Ferdinand all the time?
The waiter?
Sure, he got to the oysters before Abernathy. That reminds me.
Where are you going?
To call the cops. I got to tend to something.
Yes? Can I help you?
Mr. Abernathy, you had an oyster stew earlier this evening.
I did. Please pass the ketchup.
Look, I don't want to disturb you, but there were a dozen pearls in that stew.
Oh? I thought the oysters were somewhat gritty.
Now, we've got to get those pearls back wherever they are.
Is that all?
You've got them.
I suppose I have.
In the midsection.
More or less.
I'm going to send for a stomach pump right away.
Oh, that won't be necessary. I have them in my vest pocket. Yeah. Are these the pearls?
You mean you didn't eat them?
Goodness, no. I almost lost a filling on the first one, though. I thought I was just lucky. You're sure these pearls belong to you?
I'm positive, Mr. Abernathy.
Well, if they're yours, take them by all means. Oh, and young man.
Yeah?
Ask somebody to bring me another piece of pie.
Somebody else gets the pie. Me? I'm in a mood to relax. The Rover boys are safe in the walk-in refrigerator. The 12 pearls have come home to Papa. And I'm alone with Iris, who's wearing a flannel skirt and a little boy's shirt, which never looks like that on no little boy.
Well, Rocky?
Honey, I think maybe you saved my life. Would you like to claim a little reward?
What kind of reward?
Come here. Closer.
Baby, I've got something for you. Here.
The pearls. Well, honey.
Hmm?
I've got something for you.
Yeah? What?
A property receipt from the U.S. Customs Department.
You're a...
Cop. Good night, Rocky.
Good night.
Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young man known as Rocky Fortune. Others in the cast included Lynn Allen, Jack Crucian, Jack Nestle, Lou Merrill, and William Orner. Andrew C. Love directed. Eddie King speaking. Now here's Frank Sinatra to tell you about next week's transcribed adventure.
Did you ever get up in the morning and find out you were somebody else? The next week, I wake up married to a dame, and I don't even know her name. I'm living like a Maharaja, and I'm insured for $100,000. Double indemnity.
Next week, then, tune in again when Frank Sinatra returns as Rocky Fortune.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Sounds of Rocky Fortune.
Yep, and perhaps we could even learn a little something from this.
Yeah, that would be something to learn from here, I guess.
Oh, that's good.
Eerie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
Apologies to Gar. Dating a cop can be very arresting. That's it.
That's it. You get a yodel for that one.
There we go.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, dear.
He threw down the gauntlet. I can't believe I just said
that.
Well.
I hate
oh, no, you didn't.
I can't stand it when people can't pronounce a T. Oh, no, you didn't. There's a T in there.
So you...
Pronounce it.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Okay. Calm down.
Dale, the Nazi English teacher.
Oh, jeez. Hey, you have the soup Nazi, and then you have the Nazi English teacher. All right.
Nazi English teacher.
The Nazi yodeler. Okay.
The Nazi yodeling English teacher, yes.
Oh, yes. I hear nothing, I see nothing, I know nothing.
How can we ever forget that?
We can't.
We can't. Not now.
No, no, too late. And this one's a little lengthy, so we're going to probably roll right into Pat Novak for Hire, an interesting tale entitled, The Only Way to Make Friends is to Die. What?
Cool.
Yeah,
run with a rough crowd.
Yeah,
then, I guess.
Oh, right.
Yeah, well, With friends like that, who needs enemies? There you go.
Yeah.
Comes to us from, what's this, June 19th of 1940 and 9.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What?
The American Broadcasting Company brings to its entire network one of radio's most unusual programs. Pat Novak for Hire.
Is he the Goat Novak?
Goat Novak.
For Goat Novak.
Forrest Goat.
Sure. I'm Pat Novak for Hire. That's what the sign out in front of my office says. Pat Novak for Hire. If you're trying to make a living down on the waterfront in San Francisco, you got to run things like a smorgasbord. You pick a little of everything you can get your hands on. Even then, it's a bumpy ride, because down here, everybody tries to pad his part. Oh, I rent boats and do anything else good men pay bad men to do. You don't get many gold stars that way, but you pay the bar bill, and it's about as safe as a closet full of tigers. The only way you can make friends down on the waterfront is to die. I found that out Tuesday night. I went to the wrestling matches and watched Gorgeous George throw some guy around like a poker chip in Tijuana. I was in the middle of the crowd on my way out of the place when this guy stepped up behind me and started talking.
You got company, Novak.
Huh?
I said you got company. On both sides.
Did your friend get his face with a fire sale, too?
Can't all be pretty. Keep walking, Novak.
Is the gun in my back supposed to help?
That's up to you. Straight ahead and out the side door.
You got the right growl, but the wrong guy, mister.
You keep working your mouth, but nothing comes out. All right, this way.
What are your plans? Shall we take the kids?
The car, right down here.
Now, look, big shot. In a drugstore, I get all the mystery I want for two bits.
You want things explained?
Yeah, besides Shovelhead here, I don't understand a thing.
We just want Joe Dineen.
I never heard of him either.
We just want Joe Dineen.
All right, you can have him. You're welcome. See his wife. See anybody you like. I don't even know the guy.
You're full of talk. As soon as you want to make it the right kind, you can go home. Here we are, into the back seat. You drive, Eddie.
You boys run on. I'll grab a cab.
Get in! I'm not going to take a boat. That's it. Just be a good mouse.
You got a lot of time to waste it this way, mister.
You're too gabby, Novak.
And you're too tough, Junior.
And this noise is beginning to give me a headache.
Oh.
Let's go, Eddie. Novak's going to sulk a while.
He could have taken three bases on that wallet. I spread out on the back seat like a bowl of cake batter and tried to think of a guy named Joe Dineen. There was nobody on my list for that name. But the way these two dunces acted, he was supposed to be a blood relative. I could hear him talking dimly, and I tried to follow the conversation, but it was like trying to put a smoke ring in your pocket. I don't know how long the tour lasted. It must have been about 30 or 40 minutes when the car pulled up, and the big gun up started to yank me.
Wake up! Wake up, sweet boy! Come on, it's time for your 10 o'clock feeding.
Yeah, wait till I borrow some legs, huh?
Come on, you never looked better. All right, down the dock here.
Are we playing a new game or hunting a guy named Dineen?
That's right.
Good, now I know the rules.
Well, is that your boat, Novak?
It's got my name on
it. Is that your boat, Novak?
Well, what's it look like, the Normandy? Of course it's my boat. Who threw the blood all over it? One of your friends?
Maybe Dineen.
Now, look, you better back up and start a recap. I never heard of Dineen, and from the size of his friends, I'm just about as happy.
He didn't rent a boat off you?
If he used that boat, he stole it, mister. I closed up tonight at 7.
You make it sound good.
It is good. I've been off the waterfront 4 hours. In the meantime, somebody takes my boat and gets it chock full of holes and sends you around a week. Who is Dineen?
A friend.
I don't blame either of you for hanging on to one.
We were supposed to meet him at your landing at 10. He was going to rent one of your boats, and we were going to meet him at 10.
There's the boat. You want to pay the damages?
We came early and found the boat piled up, blood all over, and no Dineen. You got any ideas?
Maybe he cut himself shaving. Dragged the bay, mister. I don't know your guy, but somebody did. They met him out there in the bay and cut him down.
You sound happy.
Now, look, I don't care one way or another, except he used my boat. If he wanted to die, he should have hired a Davenport. That's all I know. I never heard of Joe Dineen.
Yeah.
You and your friend here better go sap somebody else.
Sure, Novak. We'll look around, but hang on to your cards because you've still got a hand in this game.
Thanks, Mother. I'll remember that.
Watch out, Eddie! Watch out, Eddie! You all right, Eddie? Nice curve, Novak.
You're wrong, mister. My friends ride the cable car.
You made a bum pitch, Novak. Can I trust
you? All right, let go. You can't afford a fight now.
I want you for Eddie, Novak.
Sorry, fellow. The water's going to be cold.
Hey, what's the trouble? Trouble going on?
No. Whatever gave you that idea?
I'm a night watchman over here. That fellow lying on the dock there dead?
Well, if he's not, he's going to catch cold.
What about the other fellow? Maybe he can't swim.
What do you care? He doesn't.
Oh. They come here looking for something?
Yeah.
Guess they didn't find it, huh?
Somebody's satisfied. They were trying to find the guy that came out of that boat down there.
Oh, you mean the funny-looking guy?
Huh?
A guy got out of that boat a few hours ago, all banged up. I think he was in a fight.
Yeah?
Sure, somebody shot him. I think he was in a fight.
Where'd he go?
Down the dock toward the street. He asked about a fellow and went down the dock.
Oh.
He asked about a fellow named Novak. Do you know him?
Yeah, but I'll do my best to forget. It wasn't going to be easy to forget. I knew there was a guy wandering around San Francisco waiting to jog my memory. And before long, somebody was going to find out those two dead guys weren't doing light housekeeping down on the dock. Once homicides smell that red meat, they'd turn Inspector Hellman loose. That's like pouring a bottle of cyanide in a wedding cake. Oh, he's a smart cop with a heart the size of a full-grown pea. I got off the dock in a hurry and I went home. When I left, the watchman was still standing there waiting to check in the next murder and smiling like a vulture with the first option on a massacre. Well, I had to get home and look sweet in case Hellman showed up. When I opened the door to my place, Hellman was on the couch with a pencil in one hand and a movie magazine in the other.
Hello, Novak. You busy?
No, I'll just stand here and watch you. A little more of that pencil and movie magazine routine, and you'll break out in a cold sweat.
Where have you been?
Staying out of other people's apartments.
I got an answer for that.
You haven't got an answer for anything, Hellman. You can't fill in the return address envelope. What's on your mind?
Can I make a call?
No, not to play cat and mouse. If you want to know about that bloodbath down on the dock, say so.
Yeah?
They're close strangers. I never saw either of them before.
You're getting loose around the mouth, Novak.
Huh?
That's right. If some of your playmates stub their toes, it's news to me. You better tell me, though. It'll save time.
Well, what's the use? If a fact walked up and sat in your lap, you'd lose it.
Suit yourself. Have a drink?
Yeah, I will. Where's the bottle opener?
Huh?
The bottle opener. You got teeth for it. I need a bottle opener, Helen.
I don't know. Try the kitchen.
All right.
Yeah. Try the light.
Well.
About this guy on the floor, Novak. Don't tell him to move because I don't think he can.
When I looked down at the guy on the floor, I felt like a burlap sack from the neck down. He was a big guy lying on his back, and you got the idea he took it hard. He didn't like the way the vote came in, because he wasn't relaxed the way most people are when they're on the prowl for a harp. He was about as rigid as a coil of wet line on a steamer deck. His face was pockmarked and the color of an old piece of abalone. Hellman was standing over him, and the shadow cut across the lower part of his face. It almost blocked out the gun, a big .38 lying about 4 feet away. The rest of the kitchen was a mess. It was torn up worse than a Japanese lantern in a high wind. Hellman was leaning against the cabinet and smiling like the banker in a crooked blackjack game.
Does he belong to you, Novak?
No, he's not pretty enough. Roll him over. We'll find out who he is.
I've already been through his stuff.
Wipe your hands. The green still shows.
His name is Joe Dineen.
You sure were popular, Joe.
Why?
The scavenger hunt. Every gonoff in town's been looking for him.
I figured you for the prize.
Two of them picked me up and lugged me down to the waterfront.
Yeah?
I told you about them. They ran into bad weather.
Why'd they take you?
Because I look like a bird dog, maybe. I don't know why, Elman. They just took me. In the meantime, Sunshine here took my boat out and got shot up.
And he came up here to borrow your adhesive tape.
That's all I know, Hellman. He must have figured me for a part.
I got the same trouble, Novak. That gun on the floor helps, too.
That gun's second lead at best. I never saw it before.
It's the murder gun. How'd it get here?
I don't know.
Maybe the scullery maid left it. Come on, Novak. You're in the spot. You better start digging.
If I do any digging, the dirt's going to go in your face, Hellman.
You've got a nice face, too, Novak.
You better buy a big shield, Hellman. You've got a lot to hide behind.
Stop beefing. You're the host. What about the safety deposit box?
You're ahead of me on that one. You ought to have your picture taken.
He was talking about a safety deposit box when I got here.
It was alive when you got here?
That's right. Show more joy. The neighbors heard the shooting and phoned in.
Well, who did it? What did he say?
He said, tough luck, copper. That's all he said. Something about a safety deposit box and tough luck copper.
Oh, that's real fine. You let him die clammed up. You're smart, Hellman. You let him off with a third-rate tagline.
You're lucky, Novak. This way it's going to take me 12 hours to wrap you up. I'm going to run that gun through and check a couple of things, and I'll be on your tail.
I want to see you follow something up, Hellman. With that big nose of yours, you couldn't find a moose in the bathtub.
Look, Novak, you're a small-time waterfront punk. You've been lucky so far, but you're still a punk. I don't like you, and I'm going to hang you by your heels. I'm going to get you. If it's the last thing I ever do, I'm going to get you.
Hellman, if I thought you were on the level about that, I'd give myself up. When Hellman left, things were about as dim as a glowworm at high noon. All the leads were tucked away in the morgue. Those two stiffs on the dock checked out with nothing but a grunt, and the guy up in my place left a 38 and some mild regrets. I had the funny feeling there was a lead up there in that apartment, but I couldn't get a hold of it. Something waiting to be understood, the way a thing gets balanced on the edge of your brain, half in, half out, like the melody but not the words of an old song. Well, I didn't know where to turn. I was hunting for the shoreline on a dark night. So I looked up the only honest guy I know, an ex-doctor and a boozer by the name of Jocko Madigan. Oh, he's all right, but he's got the idea that all liquid that isn't 100 proof lacks character. I finally found him in a little bar down near Union Square. He was talking to a blonde girl and a sailor when I walked in.
Ah, Patsy, you find me in the late October of my life, trying to recapture a few April moments.
Yeah, Jocko, I got to talk to you.
That's what I like about good whiskey. It makes you too sentimental to be mad at yourself for growing old.
Now, look, I'm in a jam. Lay off that stuff long enough to listen.
Patsy, you underrate the grape. It's a terrible mistake. It's thrown off the whole perspective of history.
All right, Jocko.
Like that story about young Washington and the cherry tree. They blame him for that. But actually, it was his first hint of future greatness.
Yeah, yeah.
They talk about vandalism, whereas the truth of the matter is he was just preparing a few Manhattans for the family. The whole perspective of history has been altered, Patsy.
Oh, stop it, will you? I'm in trouble. Will you help me out?
Yes, if you'll allow me to get a word in edgewise. What kind of trouble?
There's a dead guy up in my place.
Oh, I don't know why you're in trouble. Think of his bleak outlook on things.
Hellman's nosing around and he thinks I did it.
Did you?
No, he got shot in relays, but he picked my place to quit. And there are two other dead guys down on the dock.
What were their practices?
They strong-armed me about 10 o'clock and took me down to the waterfront. We were supposed to find a guy named Joe Deneen, but they looked too ripe to somebody.
How about Deneen?
He's that guy up at my place. When Hellman got there, he was muttering about a safety deposit box and staring at a big 38. Oh, come on, you got to help me, Jocko.
Yes, sir. Where would you like me to spread the ashes?
I want you to get out and find out everything you can about Joe Deneen, will you?
He's your house guest. Why don't you go?
Hit the Chronicle and the Examiner morgues and try to find out if he has a safety deposit box in any of the banks, huh?
Where are you going? Before prison, I mean.
I'm going down and lie in Hellman's shadow until something turns up. I need every minute, Jocko, so hurry.
Well, I'll need a quick one for the road first.
You'll get going right now, Jocko.
Patsy, you have a defiant attitude for a man on the doorstep to the next world. Try to be sweeter until you discover your normal disposition will do. You can start by paying my bar bill.
All right. Will you hurry? How much do you owe?
About $11.
What have you been doing all night? Are you crazy?
I may owe $11, Patsy, but so far I've had a better night than you have. Good night, lover.
I had to get started on some answers because once Hellman checked on those two guys at the dock, he'd go to work on me. He'd keep hacking away and finally cut me down like a piece of flint in a cigarette lighter. Well, after I left Jocko, I started down to headquarters. It was a little after midnight and the streets were wet and silent, except that now and then you could hear a woman's laughter coming out of the dark as you passed along. That's the only sound the night keeps whole. Well, I was cutting down Leavenworth Street when it came to me. I knew what my lead was up in that apartment. It didn't hit me suddenly. It kept shoving in like a piece of old seaweed in the water, moving in and out and finally brushing up against you. If that guy was alive when Hellman got there, that meant that maybe he could have phoned somebody. And if he did, then they'd have a record of it down at the desk. Well, I got back to my place and asked the operator. Well, it feels good when you got the right sweepstakes ticket. She said a call had been put in for my place at 10:15 to the Ambrose Hotel, room 204. Well, at last, things were beginning to make sense. They must have made sense for about 5 seconds because Hellman called. The girl handed me the phone, and he started in.
I got news for you, Novak. We checked
checked the prints on that murder gun. They don't add.
Take your troubles to the chaplain, Hellman. I got my quota.
Yeah. You got fancy friends, too, Novak. The prints belong to Jake Fidello.
Yeah, how do you spell that?
F-I-D... You're killed, aren't you, Novak?
So Jake Fidello, I'm nothing. Who is he?
Cheap punk like you, Novak. He's working out a 20-year stretch in Alcatraz.
Huh?
Yeah, Alcatraz. So there's no tie between the murder gun and the murder.
Maybe Fidello bought himself a 2-day furlough.
We already checked. Guard saw him in his cell at 11 o'clock tonight reading a book.
Guards pay the rent, too, Hellman. My boat was out in that bay tonight, and it came back full of bullets and blood. Now you're trying to tell me there's no connection. You better find out if a guy can skip Alcatraz for a few hours.
I'll wait, Novak. Maybe you can tell me how it's done before long.
We're going to catch up with Pat Novak in just a moment. We are back here at Erie House.
I love his expressions. I don't understand them, but I love them. He says, here's a few of them. He threw a guy around like a poker chip in Tijuana.
I like that.
It was kind of like a smoke ring in your pocket. If you wanted to die, he should have hired a Davenport. Smiling like a vulture's first at a massacre.
Oh God!
I felt like a burlap sack from the neck down. And you couldn't find a moose in a bathtub. You know, it's wow. Is that descriptiveness or what?
Yep, great analogies. I like him. There's a few other detectives who had that sort of pattern, but
Michael Shane was loaded with them. not like that. You know, like every third line, and most of his don't even make sense. I think he and his roommate, they stayed up all night long trying to figure out these things to throw into the script like this.
Probably giggling on their way. This will confuse
probably. Confuse the heck out of me.
And we're so glad. I don't know, but we're glad she has returned. Good to see you in the chat yesterday too, CW. We may have lost her. Hopefully, she'll be back. We're listening to Pat Novak. The only way to make friends is to die.
Who needs friends like that?
No,
not I.
But good old Bob jumps in here. Good evening, good evening. It's that time of year. I was sleepy. I almost was late coming here today. It's just that time. Everybody's like, summertime.
Yep. The lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer, right?
Yep. It makes collies sleep a lot, let me tell you. Anyway,
yep.
Let's wrap up Pat Novak for Hire. We may have time for some fun after we return from part two.
Well, nothing matched now. It was like the chorus girl's legs in a cheap nightclub. If
or a
Fidello
goat on a radio show.
Alcatraz for a couple of hours. Then he wasn't done.
He's a union goat.
He's
a union goat.
And what was the connection between Deneen and Jake Fidello? And who lived at the Ambrose Hotel?
You mean I got to pay him scale?
Well, I went up there to find out. It was a small place.
Oh, my God.
The Telegraph Hill. And when I rode by, I could see Alcatraz sitting out in the bay, a lonely island full of birthdays. The Ambrose turned out to be a high-toned little joint, the sort of place where the
you give me that one for free.
It is in old English.
Thank you.
I went up to
bonus.
204. The card in the door said Frederica Sims. I knocked, and when the door opened, it was like shaking hands with a flamethrower. She was a tall number, and she screamed Final Edition all over. She stood in the doorway for a minute and swayed in a nice, contented way like a snake on the right diet. And when she said hello, you wanted to hand her your arm and say, twist.
Good evening.
Yeah, my name's Novak.
I'll remember. Won't you come in?
It'll save an argument.
Good. I hope you don't mind crowds, Mr. Novak.
She means me, Mr. Novak, and I'm Mike Trevor.
And I'm Freddie Sims.
Well, that brings us up to date.
A drink would do so much more. You need a drink, Mr. Novak. You look a little dusty.
Don't mind her, Novak. She addresses all people as peasants.
All right, now suppose you two landowners tell me who killed Joe Dineen.
You know, Mark, I don't think he wants the drink.
We'll all celebrate when you get around to Dineen.
I don't think we know a man by the name of Dineen, particularly if he's dead.
Yes, I'm sure we wouldn't like him.
Come on, let's drop the smart talk. Come on, back in the saloon. A guy by the name of Joe Dineen died all over my kitchen tonight.
Don't get tough, Novak. If you miss your dinner, all right, but don't come up here screaming about your dead friend.
Now, look, I'm about 10 feet behind a phone call. Dineen put in a call for this number just before he died.
Then it was whimsy, Novak, or anything else you'd like to call it. We don't know the man. You can mull it over on your way downstairs.
Yeah, and you can use the time to think over that safety deposit box.
What safety deposit box?
Oh, you're jumping your cue, lady. Make it more casual, huh?
Do you know what you're talking about, Novak?
You think so.
I'll tell you what I'll do, Novak. I'll buy that key from you.
You got a deal, unless you want to pay it off with money.
You mean Joe Dineen?
That's right. I'm running front on a murder rap. You want that key. If you want it bad enough, come on down to headquarters and we'll make a trade.
No, thanks, Novak. You didn't look bright, but I thought you might be hiding your brain somewhere. This way you lose money.
You lose even more, Trevor. I was going to ease you into that murder rap, but the offer's out. You'll have to struggle in and you'll be too tired to get out.
Can I loan either of you boys a pickaxe?
No, thanks. Well, I'm going to run along. Can I drop you anyplace, Novak?
I'll stay.
You know, I didn't think I could drop you anyplace. Novak, you ought to sell that gleam in your eye. Some airport could use it. Good night, Betty. Be careful.
Good night, Mike. I can take care of myself.
Yes, if you try. That's all I was worried about.
Your friend reads the wrong books.
I'll bet you never wasted your time that way. Why don't you sit down on the couch here and have a drink, Patsy? Now that the argument's over.
Is it?
Well, at least we need a drink.
Yeah, sure. That'll make the talk come easy. About that key.
You think I want the key?
Like nothing else in the world.
No. That's a little rash, Patsy. But I do want it. I want it very badly.
Those are famous last words, lady. You heard the round with Mike. The prices haven't changed.
Mm-hmm. That's too expensive, darling. Here's your bank. What are you looking at, Patsy?
You? The way you slide around on that couch?
Yes.
Yeah. You belong in the Everglades.
If I were there, Patsy, I think you're the kind of a guy who'd be right around the next bend.
You sound pretty sure. That's a good way to lose your shirt.
I am sure, Patsy. I know that about us. We belong in the swamp.
Yeah.
We belong together. Because we're the same kind. We're neither good nor bad. We just are. And that has to do.
You make it sound corny, baby.
Try to hide, darling, but I can see you peeking through your fingers. I can see you awfully good from here, Patsy.
Watch out. You're backing into a corner, Angel.
But I've got you with me.
Make some more noise, huh? I like it.
It's true. I've got you with me, haven't I, Patsy?
I can still struggle.
I'll bet you don't struggle good. I'll bet you don't struggle good at all, Patsy.
I still got that key, baby.
Yes, you see.
It stays at my place.
I could eat you, Patsy. You're wonderful.
Yeah.
You never inhale me my drink. The soda at the end of the table.
Sure.
That's it, darling.
It doesn't pay much to fall in love. I spent enough time on her rug to work my way into the design. And when I finally came to, it was morning. There was nobody around the place, so I started for home. On the way, I tried to fill in the blind spots, but it was like trying to match pearls in the dark. Somebody had killed Dineen for the key to that safety deposit box, but where was the key? If the girl or Mike Trevor did it, then why were they still on the trail? Well, when I got to my apartment, the place was torn apart. Looked something like a mop closet after a New Year's Eve party. Jocko was sitting in the middle of the room listening to the water fizz.
Good morning. Where'd you get the bump on the head?
Romance. What'd you find out, Jocko?
Dineen had lots of friends and enemies.
Yeah, one of them's Jake Fidello.
He's number one on the list. Dineen had a brawl with Fidello 2 years ago. Jake promised to square the beef.
He's in a bad spot for it now.
Maybe. Dineen has no safety deposit box.
Oh, that was my out.
Perhaps you can take up folk dancing in prison. I'll send you diagrams of new steps from time to time. Fidello has a safety deposit box, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's got a lot of money floating around somewhere.
Well, well.
And a lot of women doing the same thing.
We're getting a better shuffle now. Is the girl's name Freddie Sims?
That's right. Fidello loves her like the last 15 minutes of life. That's why he won't like it.
Get to the point, huh?
She's supposed to be waiting for him, but she's got married in Mexico to a guy named Mike Trevor, Fidello's best friend. Does it make sense?
No, it doesn't. Suppose Jake's found out about his sweetheart and best friend. Why would he kill Deneen?
I don't know, except you'll find out, Patsy, that sometimes the difference between your best friend and your worst enemy is only a matter of opportunity.
Yeah, Novak talking.
How's the dent in your forehead?
Oh, you get around, Hellman.
Yeah, we picked her up at your apartment.
Did she tell you about that key?
A little. She made a confession, too.
She's generous.
Not to Mike Trevor. She pinned the whole thing on him and signed a statement. We're going out to pick him up now. I'll see you in 10 minutes.
Why?
In case he wants to shoot somebody, I'm offering you.
Things were moving fast now. I sent Jocko down to start repair work on the boat, and Hellman picked me up 5 minutes later. We drove out Geary and turned on Van Ness. Oh, Hellman was real subtle. He stopped right in front of the rooming house where Mike Trevor was living. The girl had mapped it out for him. Trevor was in a first-floor room. It was a quiet neighborhood, but as we opened the front door and started in, I got the idea it was going to be a tough place to get any sleep for the next few minutes.
Down on the right side here. Stay ahead of me, Novak.
You're one copper who will die in bed, Hellman.
Down the hall and be quiet. Yeah, this is it.
On this lap, you go first.
Stand back while I throw it open.
Got empty, Hellman.
Girl said he was here. What's that?
Your boy's up at the top of the stairs.
You see him?
Well, he's not wearing neon pants. Go up and get him.
Come on down, Trevor. Your girl talked. Come on down and sign a confession.
I've got a better idea, copper. You come up and hand me the pen.
All right, Novak.
Move over, Hellman. He's going to argue.
He's heading for the roof. Let's go.
Hold it, Hellman. If that door up there is locked, we'll run right through the barrel.
You get one more chance, Trevor. Come on down.
That roof door is locked.
All right, copper. I'm coming down. Make a hole.
Now you got your hole, Trevor.
Yeah.
No, Vinick. You better get to that safety deposit box. Get there in a hurry. Before the girl.
Well, the city owns another, Hellman. Let's get to that safety deposit box.
Let her have the key. What do you care, Novak? She's Fidello's girl.
No, no. There's a queer twist here somewhere. How do you know what's in that box?
So, Fidello's in love with a girl. He's grateful. What do you care?
That's what makes it good. That's the way it is with love and gratitude. The love goes on, Hellman, but the gratitude changes. Well, the way things stood, there was only one place that key could be. I got to a phone and called Jocko. I told him to check out in the boat for a key somewhere on the floorboards. Jocko seemed happy when he said that some girl had come by 15 minutes ago and nosed around the boat for a while. Well, Hellman and I rushed down to the bank. When we got downstairs, Freddie was just starting into the vault.
Hello, Patsy. You look rested.
You're on your way to that deposit box. You better think it over.
Can he stop me, copper?
No, but we can hold the dough until we check with Fidello.
Go ahead.
I don't think he's going to like it.
Oh, we'll have to see. I'll be back in a moment.
Let's go, Novak. We can hold the dough upstairs.
No, let's hang around. I just want to see 18 karat greed when she opens that box. There's the gratitude, Hellman.
Well, Patsy, I got the key, huh?
Yeah, you got everything, Eva.
How about Mike? I happened to win.
He beat you over the line by 20 minutes.
Well, that's a nice thing to let me know.
I'll try again. Because you don't rate him nice, way. You're not worth anything Fidello ever had.
It's part of the argument. I couldn't finish him.
I was wrong about one thing, Eva. When I said Fidello wouldn't like this. I think you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cabello was a thorough guy. The way he told out, but the right inning. Cabello found out about the girl and Mike Trevor, so he pulled a switch. He hired his enemy, Joe Dineen, to do the job. Dineen planted the bomb in the safety deposit box, and just to prove it was a square pitch, Cabello gave them. Dineen was supposed to kill the girl and leave the key for Mike to blow his head off. And just to make it clean, Cabello got him technically told him to look up Dineen if anything happened to the girl. That way, he figured to knock out all three of them. But Mike jumped the gun. He started tailing Dineen and shot him up out on the bay. He followed him to my place and killed him with the gun Dineen was carrying. Dineen came across, but he called the girl and told her there was a lot of money in that safety deposit box.
Exactly, baby.
But he told the girl finally double-crossed Mike Trevor and turned him in. Trevor killed those two guys on the pier. He lost Dineen in the fog. And when he drove up, a couple of dumpers along. That's scary. The question, what could that girl have said to Jocko to make him let her walk in and breathe out with that key? I mentioned that to Jocko, but he just smiled.
This brought you Pat Novak for Hire, starring Jack Webb. Pat Novak is directed and produced by William D. Rousseau. Jocko Madigan is played by Tudor Owen. Inspector Hellman is played by Raymond Burr.
Music was composed and
in our cast were Vaughn Fady, Paul Avery, Harley Bear, and Herb Ellis. This program is being released to our worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is George Fenneman inviting you to be with us again next week, when over most of these same ABC stations will bring you Pat Novak for Hire. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
I thought I heard Parley Bear in there. I'm glad they confirmed it at the end of that one.
Yep, Parley Bear and George Fenneman was known for two roles. One, he was the announcer for Dragnet when Jack Webb went to NBC with it. He was also the announcer and sort of co-host for the one, the only Groucho on You Bet Your Life.
In a secret way, you win $100.
Yeah, give me that duck.
What's the difference between a duck? I don't know. Did we learn anything from Pat Novak at all?
We did.
Erie House Radio proudly presents Agarless, Moral of the Story.
His apologies to Gar. Dead friends are only good if you borrow money from them. That's it.
Hilarious.
That makes so much sense.
It does.
And dollars. And dollars.
Dollars and cents.
Yep, yep.
So,
what a fun show.
Yep, it was. And there's more to go yet. We still got 11 minutes before folks can listen to a new old Guard the Ghoul show on the Twitches there coming up in, what, just 10 minutes and 40 seconds right now. So don't forget to check that out until our buddy recovers. I think he's going to be running vault episodes. But hopefully
we're not going to know what to do when he comes back, but we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
I'm already scheming. Yep. First, I'm going to jump him at the door and shove chicken soup down his throat.
Yeah.
As a preventative.
Take out the feathers first, will you?
This time I will. I hope that's not what caused what's going on now. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Oh, my.
We'll leave it up to you, Ms. W. Do you prefer music, or would you like maybe perhaps a wheel? I think we lost her again.
Yep.
Well, then, since I'm the indecisive one, I'll leave it up to you, partner. What would you think?
Okay, at 9 minutes left. Well, why don't we go ahead and take a spin into the wheel?
Let's do that. If you don't mind, I'll take a spin here.
Please.
Reach up to the top. Kind of. Oh, God, I'm gaining weight. Let me reach up.
Get it.
Oh, there you are.
Around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Gracie, what'll we talk about? Your family, or shopping, or current events?
Well, I don't know, but whatever it is, let's talk about it while we're packing.
Packing? Where are we going?
Well, I don't know that either, but it's going to be a long trip.
Who told you that?
Madame Sonia, the gypsy tea room.
I'll pack my violin and go with you. Madame Sonia.
Oh, she's wonderful, George. The minute she looked at my teacup, she knew all about me. She said that I had a castle in Europe, I was an opera singer, and I was married to an Italian count.
That was a nice guess.
Yeah, George, don't rush her. I'm still young. Well, she showed me three tea leaves sitting together in the corner of the cup, and she said they were my three children.
But, Gracie, we only have two, Sandra and Ronnie.
Well, I know, but she was so nice, I didn't have the heart to tell her. It worked out fine.
Oh, it did?
Yes. I asked her if she had any children. She said no, she loved them, but she wasn't married.
So?
So, when it was time to go, I took my extra child out of the cup and I gave it to her.
Well, she sends it to college. This Madame Sonia sounds very interesting.
Well, she should be. She's one of the greatest because she loves her work. Do you know when she goes home at night, she takes about 200 tea leaves with her?
She does?
She likes to read in bed.
Jesse, do you really believe in this stuff?
Well, of course I do. And Madame Sonia is never wrong. Only about 2 months ago, she told a friend of mine she was going to take a long ocean voyage.
And she did?
Well, sure. And when she got back last week, she opened her tea room again.
Madame Sonia is really uncanny.
Oh, yes. And the things they ask her. There was one woman there today sitting at the next table, and she wanted to know if her husband still loves her.
And why didn't she ask her husband?
Oh, well, she couldn't. He left her 20 years ago. She doesn't know where to find him.
Does Madame Sonia work with a crystal ball?
Oh, she used to, but she had to give it up on account of her adenoids.
What her adenoids got to do with a crystal ball?
Well, she breathes through her mouth, and when she looked at the crystal ball, she fogged up everybody's future.
Gracie, there's one thing I'd like to know. Why did you go there?
Well, I wanted to get the answer to a question that's been bothering me for years.
What's the question?
Well, everybody I talk to says, Gracie, where are your marbles? And I like to be able to tell them.
Say goodnight, Gracie. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Outstanding.
What a team.
Yeah, she was brilliant. She was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, like a musician playing poorly. You have to be a great musician to be able to pull that off. And act as dumb as she was, you really had to be such a talented person.
Yep. That character was very consistent.
I learned something interesting this week because somebody was watching on the internet and they found out that Mary Livingston was severely dyslexic. And if you think about all these Jack Benny bloopers, we've got some more to put up there on the wheel. But when you think of all these Jack Benny, most of them were coming from her saying words out of place. So and back then, they certainly there was nobody that could detect what dyslexia was. We had no idea.
They hadn't invented it yet.
They hadn't invented dyslexia yet. No, they invented it. They had invented it, they just hadn't discovered it.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah, there we go. Nature invented it.
So, Dale, what's happening on the Ernie House next week?
Nothing. Yeah. We close after the... No, I'm sorry. You know, after working for nothing, we're going to get a little greedy next weekend. We're getting greedy all weekend. Yep, Escape, The Saint, and Johnny Dollar on Friday, and then Saturday marks the return of CBS Radio Mystery Theater, which is a little less greedy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. A little less greedy, yeah.
A little less greedy.
The devil, you say.
We had a football player named Greedy.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
He's gone now, I think.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, as they say, greed is good. Greed works. Greed. Yeah.
It's the American
greed.
Way.
It's America.
It
hey, and shameless plug on Monday night on the Vortex at horrorhost.com. We're in this really bad movie returns. For another exciting episode.
Right.
I'm not sure which one it is, but another exciting episode. It always surprises me when I look at my feed on Monday as to what shows on. But there it is.
Oh, and don't forget an encore performance of Guard the Ghoul on Twitch TV. Yeah.
That's coming up in
That's
about
true.
3 minutes, 20 seconds. So jump on over there and show your support for our ailing friend.
That's right.
Friend hell, he's
Absolutely.
A brother. Friend hell, he's a brother.
He is a brother. He is a brother.
He is.
A brother from another mother.
That's right.
Woo-hoo!
Yep. So we hope everybody's weekend was good. Getting a lot of rain here in Ohio tonight, so I got a soggy doggy.
Soggy doggy.
That'll keep him from chasing the raccoons.
And rabbits and groundhogs. He better chase them groundhogs. They're climbing my peach tree. They're raiding my peach tree. Dirty.
Really? I didn't know why they were...
Groundhogs?
Yeah, aren't they?
It's hilarious. He's like, he's this big, round, plump animal climbing up the skinny trunk of a still somewhat scrawny peach tree and trying to reach out and grab them.
I didn't even know they could climb.
They can climb.
Neither did I.
Yeah, they got some claws. You don't see it often, but they will climb. Take the pears. I have plenty of pears.
Yeah. I feel a WKRP moment here because I didn't know turkeys couldn't fly. You know, so I didn't know groundhogs could
fly. One of the great television moments of all time.
I think wild turkeys can fly for not very high, but for short distances.
And that's true. The wild ones do have the ability of flight. They're not California condors, but they can fly somewhat more than their farm-raised brethren.
Yep.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've had wild turkey before, and I've never flown. Never.
Apparently, you didn't have enough. So...
Here you go. And,
all right, I gotta go back to the bar then.
For many, many, many rounds.
Many rounds.
I have no idea what that was. It was probably supposed to be this.
Quiet, numbskulls! I'm broadcasting.
I don't know why it's bad.
Nice finger, though. That's a nice finger. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mo Howard, Jim, he can fit just about anywhere.
Oh, I had a, we don't have enough time, but I had a letter from Cary Grant to Mo Howard. I'll have to see if I can pull that down and bring that in another time.
Oh,
all right.
Cool.
We'll see you guys next Friday.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left. But me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Okay, I really dig it. I really dig it. I want the ring.
Close the door. Perfect timing. Just about perfect.
Well done.
You know, I'm going to read that letter now simply because I know I'll lose it by the time we meet again.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
This is
I'm a studio file, so this would be interesting.
This was dated February 3rd, 1972. Dear Mo, if you've been wondering why you weren't thanked for the elegant China mug bearing my name on one side and attractive picture of an 1886 Delamer car on the other, it's because it wasn't delivered to me by the package room of the Warwick Hotel until yesterday as I was leaving New York. And now I too am wondering what I did to deserve such a handsome gift. I tried to reach you by telephone to hasten my appreciation at this late date, but Los Angeles information could give me no information. Okay, makes sense. But at least I shall give you the information that I'm delighted and appreciative. Yep. I'm delighted and appreciative because I've only for me, since my name clearly appears on the side of the cup, large enough for anyone to read, even me, without my glasses. Thank you, Mo. As I mentioned, I don't know what I did to deserve such kindness, but I send you the most happy and grateful of thoughts. Cary Grant.
Aw.
Oh, it's a nice letter.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, why would Cary Grant go through California telephone information when he just could have called his agent who could have called another agent who could have found out Mo's phone number?
You know, that's a good question, but, you know, there's one problem with that logic, CW.
Well,
you? It's logical.
Oh, yeah, there's that. It's always a call. Yeah. I forget that.
Yeah, we're talking about a stooge here, so logic is out the window.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, never mind. Forget that. Cancel that.
N-A, not applicable. Not applicable?
Not applicable. Okie dokies.
Is it applicable or applicable?
Applicable?
I've heard it both ways.
Is it mayonnaise? Applicable, it's tomato, tomato, potato, patata, mayonnaise.
It's Hellman's.
That sort of thing. Hellman's. Miracle Whip.
Actually, I like Duke's Miracle Whip. My wife likes Miracle Whip. I like Duke's mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Duke's.
I grew up on Miracle Whip, so it's generally favorite for me for most things. But on a hamburger, it's got to be mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Not Miracle Whip.
The only difference between mayo and Miracle Whip is the fact Miracle Whip has more sugar in it. That's the only difference.
Really?
That's it.
That's bad news for me. That's bad news for me.
Yep.
I wonder if it was originally like that because during the war, everything was rationed, but I'm not so sure Miracle Whip was, and I know that Kraft cheese wasn't. Kraft wasn't. The Velveeta was not deemed as real cheese, a cheese spread. And mayonnaise, and Miracle Whip was deemed a salad dressing. So I wonder if it was originally a thing because, again, I don't believe that – I know that the Velveeta wasn't. Velveeta wasn't.
What about Cheese Whiz?
I don't think they had Cheese Whiz back then.
Oh.
No, they didn't have Cheese Whiz yet. But it would be an interesting thing to come to a buffet with all of these foods, Miracle Whip, Spam, which I don't know how you still categorize that, and it comes slurping out of a can. Spam.
Spam, again, that's one of the things I grew up with. My mom fried Spam, and I thought it was pretty good.
You got to scrape off that gelatinous, disgusting, clear goo. It's like
the
blob.
You kidding? That's what makes it fry up much better. Oh, yeah. Scrape it into the frying pan.
I think you have a little bit of Hawaiian in you, Dave, because Spam is still considered a favorite of people of Hawaii. We mentioned this previously. Also in South Korea, they have a dish called Army Stew where Spam is put in there. It's because during the Korean War as well as World War II, Spam was given to the troops. It traveled well. It lasted like a Twinkie. It didn't
didn't spoil. And in South Korea, once the war had ended, people were still so incredibly poor, they just, you know, took what was left over in the barracks. And surprisingly, the military personnel didn't take this. Wonder why. Mm-hmm. But they, of course, added their own touches. They added chili paste to it. They added noodles to it. The non-existent Velveeta American cheese, they slapped some of that into it. So that is still a Korean delicacy after a fashion. I have no idea why. But also the McDonald's in Hawaii serves Spam. Mixed Spam.
Yep. Well, it's as close as Hawaii as I'm going to get, then.
There you go. And I was wondering, well, I was listening to, first of all, I love all the euphemisms from Rocky Fortune and from Jack Webb, Private Eye. I mean, it just never stops. But I'm thinking, what about, you know, the secretary, for example, their Gal Fridays, for example, hello, my name is Thursday. I got hired on a Tuesday. My head feels like a Sunday night. And today, it's Monday. Did I mention I'm a girl Friday?
There you go.
So what you got?
Well, there's egg and bacon, egg, sausage and bacon, egg and Spam, egg, bacon and Spam, egg, bacon, sausage and Spam, Spam, bacon, sausage and Spam, Spam, egg, Spam, Spam, bacon and Spam, Spam, sausage, Spam, 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 bacon, Spam, tomato and Spam, 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 egg and Spam, 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 bacon and Spam, 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 Spam,
Spam, Spam, Spam,
Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam.
Have you got anything without Spam?
Well, the Spam, egg, sausage and Spam. That's not got much Spam in it.
I don't want any Spam.
Why can't you have egg, bacon, Spam and sausage?
That's got Spam in it. It
hasn't got as much Spam in it as Spam, egg, sausage and Spam, has it?
Could you do me egg, bacon, Spam and sausage without the Spam then?
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? I don't like Spam.
Spam, 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 Spam,
Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, Spam, I can't have egg, bacon, Spam and sausage without the Spam.
I don't like Spam.
Shh, dear, don't cause a fuss. I'll have your Spam. I love it. I'm having Spam, 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 baked beans, Spam, Spam, Spam and Spam.
Spam, 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 Spam,
Spam, Spam, Spam.
Well, could I have a Spam instead of the baked beans then?
You mean Spam?
Lovely Spam, lovely Spam.
Take us home. I'm almost weeping. No. I just got to talking about Spam, and I just lost my mind.
It's the Spam anthem. I'm just so surprised that the Spam company doesn't buy that and just run it on radio as commercial.
Oh, my God.
So
what a commercial they could make. It'd be awesome.
Oh, yes. Some advertising agency just made a mint of money in billing. Oh.
Yep. Well, we should charge them.
No kidding. I don't know, do a parody of Spam, only do it with Velveeta. Velveeta, 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 Velveeta,
Velveeta. Craft, 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 craft.
Crap, 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 crap.
Miracle Whip on your crab.
Oh, God. Yep. Always look on the bright side of mayonnaise. What? I saw Cowboy Kent when he made hamburgers. Speaking of, you like mayonnaise, Dave, on hamburgers? He used mayonnaise and then toasted them. And then put more mayonnaise on after he toasted it. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't really learn the difference until I was assistant manager at Burger King. That's when I learned the difference between mayonnaise and Miracle Whip. Because we never had real mayonnaise at the house. We had Miracle Whip.
Yeah. Fake mayonnaise.
At the time, it was cheaper. It isn't cheaper today. I think they're both approximately the same price. But back then, Miracle Whip was cheaper, which is why
my guess is Miracle Whip got more popular.
We'll charge them more.
Yeah, and probably, and also the name Miracle Whip. What an excellent Madison Avenue trick.
Yeah.
It's Miracle Whip. It's a miracle.
I love that during the Great Gildersleeve, he was sponsored by Kraft, and you got to hear about all the great Kraft products.
You know the horse Miracle, don't you? It's a miracle.
I think I had it for dinner last week. What?
No, that was History of the World, Part 2.
That was
the horse miracle.
Yeah.
The horse was miracle.
Yep.
The wonder horse.
Miracle the wonder horse.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Right up there with Shadow Facts, you know?
Oh, goodness. But, that would be interesting. An interesting buffet with all of those tasty, tasty foods. Foods, the buffet of foods that never expire.
Yep.
American cheese food slices.
Yep.
Not even cheese. It's cheese food.
We're finally getting rain, so like everybody's gardens are starting to explode now.
Yeah.
And I'm glad because I want to grill up a bunch of vegetables. You know.
All right. Call the fire brigade, everybody.
No.
Got the grill out.
No. I like to get me some zucchini, make some thick slices, and squash. Throw in some onions and throw them on the grill, slathered in olive oil. Good stuff. And some Italian seasonings. Oh, yeah. Those are good.
Oh, yes.
And then we get a bunch of these. Get like baskets full of these little cherry tomatoes so she can make a sauce out of just chopping them in half and then cooking them down with some nice Italian seasonings and just have that over pasta.
Tasty. I wonder if those huge bulbs of garlic with the garlic cloves are in them. I know you can roast them in the oven where they get soft. You can use it almost as a spread. I wonder if you can do that also on the grill.
Why not? You're getting me to scheming.
The wheels are turning.
Yep. Yeah, and then we're taking the back. I have like these bricks that the painting blocks, square ones, are like a foot and a half by a foot and a half. That served as a bit of a patio. We're gonna relay it, level it out a little bit, and my son and I are building a fire pit /
pizza oven?
Grill. No, not a pizza oven. That would be cool, though. No, it'll be an outdoor grill.
We can do a pizza oven. You can do a chimney / pizza oven / grill.
If we had more bricks, we probably would, but I'm just going to build a low, it's going to be basically like a fire pit, but there's going to be a grill rack on one side.
Well, you know, there's that brickyard about 5 miles away from your house down the street to the left. You know, I don't think they have any cameras out there. So on a midnight, some
night, you might go in there and pick up a few extra bricks. Just suggestion.
No, because you got the bricks that I have. My son, when he bought his house, there were a ton of them in his garage, and they're the good old fashioned big heavy bricks that you would want to use for like a fireplace or something.
Ah.
They're huge and they're thick. They like the bricks now. They have holes in them, drilled in the middle of them a lot of times, and they're not. Not like the good old days. Good, big, solid construction, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like Russia, everything has to be bigger. It's back like when 2x4s were actually 2 inches by 4 inches.
Well, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, wow. Gentlemen, I must be away. I have to get going. But with that said, if I may, I'll do my final task of the evening and call.
Sure, who's your task?
The stage. Mr. Durante, the sun is going down. Play us out, if you would, please.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Welcome back, CW.
Thank you. Good night, everybody. Good night, Dave.
Good
night, John Boy.
Good night.
We've had a few laughs.
Good night,
Willem Scream.
Good night, Mr. Pickle.
Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Calabash,
wherever
you are.
This is connected to you this week.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
Arrivederci. A la vista.
Adios.
Adios, muchachos. Caballeros de la vida.
You get out of here.